listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 132. Okay, the Lord's here with the one, the only, the slightly tired and a little bit grumpy John Brownstone.
No, not me.
Grumpy polar bear. This week, we're talking about red flags, but not for dominance. Oh no, this time we're looking at submissives. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, or on Instagram at LovingDS, the number one, LovingDS1. I hate that handle. All links are in the show notes. We do have one announcement this week.
Okay.
It is officially June now that this episode goes live. Not the day we're recording it, but the day it goes live is June.
Mm-hmm.
So, best to tell you now that on June 22nd, we will not have an episode because we're going on vacation.
Correct.
And I'm trying to make it an actual vacation, so I'll work double time the week before so that I can take the next week off.
Which means I won't see you or be able to talk to you.
You'll see me. I just won't be able to make eye contact. I'm staring at a computer screen. So yes, just because I know we have some lovely listeners who get very anxious when they don't know what the hell's going on.
True.
Here, now you know. Yeah. June 22nd, that week. We will actually be getting on the road on June 15th, which is a Friday.
Correct.
But we will record an
there
episode.
There will be.
Yeah, it'll be a short one. There'll be an episode. So that's pretty much it for announcements right now. We will be talking about more stuff that are going on with us in the next couple weeks, but I haven't really... My brain's kind of mushy right now, so.
So I'm not the only one.
No, oh no, God, no. I decided to condense my work week this week into a 3-day week instead of a 4-day work week. So yes, my brain has been quite mushy. Okay, so we are doing something that doesn't get done often enough, I don't think. I know I've only once have I ever talked about this before, and it's on my personal blog, killalurge.com, where we talk about. And I don't even remember if I called them red flags. I'd have to go back to the old blog post. But basically red flags that submissives are guilty of. And we talk a lot. Every sort of kink educator, kinky group, people who are trying to help kinksters out, every single group I've ever come across will spend a lot of time talking about the red flags and the things that air quote doms and sometimes just new doms who are clueless will do that is harmful and bad and... is not, you know, consensual and all kinds of problems.
Right.
And it is something that we do need to talk about because when doms, back up, air quote doms, go bad or are bad, people get hurt because they're the ones given control over situations. So it is something we have to talk about, and new submissives and even experienced submissives need to be on the lookout for these things. But as somebody who I spoke with on Twitter earlier today, the day we're recording it, on Thursday, said they were willing to sort of share part of their story, and it was with me, and it was that they've been assaulted by, you know, a submissive before. So it's not just dominance you have to be worried about. It's bad people, or it's clueless people, or it's people who don't care about consent. It's a people thing. There are bad eggs everywhere. So since we're not really talking much about submissives and the problems that they can have and the red flags, I figured it was time. It also sort of helped, brought it to mind. That's probably a better way of putting it. That I have had a lot of conversations with different dominants, and some of what they're describing to me isn't necessarily a red flag. It's, you know, my take is usually, oh, this person that you're dealing with is confused or unsure or whatever. But it sometimes my cynical side will read a message and I'll go, shh, that doesn't sound right. so we did a blog post earlier this week on some red flags. I think I had 6. And I tried very, very hard to think of it from not just obviously the male dom, female sub perspective, but also the femdom's perspective, especially those dominants, any dominant of any gender who deals with a masculine submissive, because hate to say it, guys, the majority of people who do bad things when it comes to assault and abuse tend to be guys. It's not all guys, obviously, but it's a problem. So, I tried to to think of as many as I could based on conversations I've had and things I've seen and things I personally don't like. But I would really, especially if any of this episode resonates with your personal experiences, I would love it if you'd take a look at that blog post. It's linked in the show notes. Because if there are other things that you have seen that can maybe be sort of classified as more of a universal red flag for people to watch out about, I would be happy to do a second part to that if I get a list long enough of things that, just because of my lack of experience with that kind of stuff, I haven't thought of. But I did ask, you know, you to go, okay, think back.
Yeah.
Think back to the things that happened.
Oh.
And you
did.
You were like, oh, let me tell you. You say this story a lot, and so then I repeat this story a lot, and we've talked about it in multiple places lately. But, you know, the one that came to mind most quickly, I think, for both of us was the submissive who throws themselves at random dominants who they don't even know. And they haven't, they're just as bad as those dominants who demand to be called sir or master. These submissives are going, I'll be
I
yours.
Don't know you, but be my dominant. Use me and abuse me.
Right. So the one thing I didn't do in that blog post was focus a lot on motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will be trying to be slightly fair and say, or honest, maybe not fair, honest and say that when we talk about the red flags of dominance, most of the time we attribute the worst possible motive to what they're doing. It's abusive, it's predatory, mm-hmm. and because many times it is. But we don't always talk about, I've tried to keep in mind, well, some people are just uneducated and they don't understand how you should treat people kindly. I don't know. I worry about a person who just in general doesn't know how to treat people and goes, you know what I'm going to do? I have no people skills at all, but I'm going to go be a dominant. But I'm trying to be more open-minded that it's not all predatory behavior. Sometimes it's just shitty behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So in a submissive, I figure maybe we could look at some of the motivation, and I don't really think it's that much different than dominant motivation. The motivation of dominance with red flags. I think that, you know, some people are just shitty people and they think they can do whatever they want and they think that there are no consequences and that the rules don't apply to them. And I think we will always all come across those people. But I do think that there are other motivations, and I think that if I'm being fair and kind, maybe some of these could apply to dominance too. I don't know. But the one that comes to mind is desperation, just sheer desperation. A submissive is convinced they will never get to submit. They haven't gotten to submit yet, or it's been a while, or they just got dumped, or whatever it is. And they are desperate, and they will say anything, and they will approach anyone. And the desperation just sort of hangs on them like a cloud. They reek of it like a bad perfume. Like it's that thing that makes you go, oh, I'm going to need you to sit over there because I don't want any of that to rub off on me.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, when you have that kind of red flag, that desperation of throwing themselves at somebody in DMs, or the other one I listed in the blog post was saying that you have zero limits, you will do anything. Which we know that's not true, because the moment somebody suggests go do something, you know, horrific to yourself, you go, oh, no, I'm not doing that. So clearly you have limits. But that's I think where those red flags put that submissive in a very dangerous position.
Oh, absolutely. Especially if they come across the wrong person.
Right.
But I think the main thing is that, you know, some of these submissives can, definitely emotionally hurt.
Oh, absolutely. Someone. I don't think the ability to cause emotional or physical pain is somehow solely left to one type of person.
I mean, I read this story one time, and it was just horrifying. I mean, in a nutshell, this fella met someone online, and it was through a kink site. And they opened the dialogue and began talking. And, you know, like I say, I'm going to cut this. This was a very long story and horrifying for him. She had told him that her parents were killed in a car crash, among other things. And they were trying to meet, and kept one thing after another.
Sure, it couldn't happen in this connection. Oh, I can't do it this time. Maybe next time.
Right.
How many of us have heard that one before?
And you know, he had developed a connection with this person. Well, I believe it, she had ghosted on him, which then led him to further investigate, and he eventually did find the person. Parents were alive and well.
Liar, liar, pants on fire. So do you think that, I mean, it's hard, it's never a safe bet to try to ascribe motivation to somebody else and why they're doing something, because mm-hmm. you can't be in anybody else's head. But when you hear stories like that, and I've heard different stories like that, we've heard the stories of somebody who's talking to somebody that they think is their kinky partner for months, maybe even years, and then it ends and they end up finding out later that that was not the person that they were talking to. You know, they thought they were talking to, you know, to give an example, a woman with two kids who had gone through a divorce. Gosh, that sounds like me. I used myself as an example, y'all. And come to find out they were actually talking to a dude who, you know, lived in his parents' basement. So we know those people exist. If you've been on the internet for any length of time, you've probably come across them. I would imagine that in a DS relationship, that's got to be even more devastating, just because it's trust is trust. But what we do with power and kink is deep. So, but when you hear about, let's say, a submissive who does that, who pretends to be somebody that they're not, to get sympathy, to get whatever, I mean, it's clearly manipulative, but do you ever think you can imagine why somebody does that?
I could not even begin to imagine.
My brain can't wrap around doing it. Quite frankly, I don't have time to keep up with the facts of my life. I don't think I could invent. But, you know, that is just as much as we tell submissives, be careful of what a dominant tells you, or a so-called dominant tells you, and watch their watch how they behave and look for inconsistencies. The same is true of submissives. And submissives are just as capable of lying and saying what they think you want to hear, saying whatever they think will make them the most sympathetic. And when something just seems, can people have tragic lives? Of course they can.
Oh, and it does happen.
And it is heartbreaking when it happens. Absolutely. But when, especially when it's all online and you have no way of verifying things, and, you know, be very careful of that submissive who pulls on every heartstring you have, and their life is just tragic day after day after day. There's a good chance that that's probably not accurate, you know? So that is certainly anything that makes your little internal voice go off and go, no, that doesn't seem right. I would call that a red flag. You don't even have to always, and that's for anybody, either side of the slash. If you're interacting with a person, and even though you can't explain it to yourself, your alarm bells go off, you are sensing deeper than your conscious mind a red flag, and you need to pay attention to that. And you don't have to, like, kick them to the curb. You know, you don't have to go, oh, no, I'm not dominating you. There's something weird about you. But what you do is, just like we tell submissives, you start using sort of your critical thinking skills, and you start paying attention to details, and you start looking for inconsistencies. And when you find inconsistencies and you match it up with those alarm bells going off, then, like we would tell a submissive, get the hell out of there. Right. Don't tangle yourself up any more than you already have. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing I would want to say about red flags that get ignored. So many of us have either been the submissive or talked to the submissive who saw the red flags, convinced themselves that it was okay, or they could fix it, or maybe they were wrong, or maybe this is just how DS was, and they went against their own good judgment, and they stayed with, you know, an air quote dominant who was an asshole or an abuser or whatever, and they got hurt in the end. Hopefully, I don't know if I ever want to say hopefully only emotionally, but I'd rather you have a broken heart than, you know, a broken head.
Well,
but
I mean,
the same is true for dominance. Dominants get emotionally involved. Dominants get attached. Dominants worry that they might not find the right submissive again. And so when you start seeing those red flags as a dominant, and you're looking at your submissive, especially if you've bought into the myth that submissives don't have red flags, it's a myth. If you've never been told that before, here, we'll be the first people. That's not true. You could get yourself entangled in something that all of your instincts are yelling at you that this isn't right. But now you've convinced yourself that this is the only person for you, or nobody else would let you dominate them. So clearly you got to take this one. No, you don't. No, you don't. So that's probably, I think there's almost every time we give advice for a submissive about how to deal with the red flags of dominance, I really think you can just swap the words. Dominant, yeah. Submissive.
You know, it's said quite a bit that, you know, especially for a submissive, when you are, you know, looking for a dominant, to vet the dominant.
Right.
Okay. You know, is he part of the local community? Does he go to munches? You know, at the dungeon, what kind of rapport does he have? Is he well respected?
Or she.
Or she. But the same thing goes for a submissive.
Absolutely.
Vet them.
Absolutely.
You know, find out about them.
Have a conversation with them before you play.
Right.
Just some basic human interaction things. And it is a little bit harder to vet a submissive. A lot of submissives that go to the munch or go to the club, not all by any stretch, but there, it does feel overwhelmingly that there are a lot of new submissives that are going to these events. So vetting does not happen in the same way. You know, it's, you're not necessarily going to get references and be able to go talk to other people.
Right.
But you can use the same skills you would use to determine, is your kid lying to you? Is your boss lying to you?
Mm-hmm.
Is your employee lying to you? Those are the same skills apply. And, you know, I'm a big fan of watching people, not like staring at them all creepy, but, you know, keeping paying attention.
Right.
And watching how they interact with other people, too. And one red flag, and, you know, I want to kind of clarify, I think, most of the time, and I've said this at the beginning, most of the time when we talk about red flags and dominance, we're talking about predatory abusive behavior because of the power and control involved. Red flags of submissives can run sort of the gamut of the motivations. That's kind of what we've been talking about. Like, what are the, what's causing this? So some absolutely can be predatory and abusive submissives. We've seen it. But sometimes you will see a red flag that isn't about, oh, this person is dangerous. It's a different kind of red flag. It is a red flag nonetheless. And so when you are watching at a munch or at the club, or you're watching this submissive that you is relatively new, nobody in the community really knows them, paying attention to how they behave is certainly one way. And if you see a submissive treat every single dominant they approach in the same way, and I don't mean with respect and like a fellow human being, but you know, that sort of fawning, falling all over, doing everything they can to get that dominance attention, it is very likely they are just desperate to submit and they'll go for anybody. But that is a red flag that you might be dealing with somebody who's not a good fit for you.
Right.
Because they're looking for anybody who calls themselves a big D.
I think my personal favorite is the one who says, I have no limits. Do whatever you want to me.
You and all the other devious, some are sadists and some are not, dominants I know, quote, love that because it lets you be devious and make them get this look on their face like, holy shit, what did I just step into? And those people, those types of submissives who say that, and the submissives that are just roaming around trying to catch any dom who will look at them, most of the time, not always, but most of the time, they're, it's a combination of the desperation we talked about earlier and a lack of understanding. So people on both sides of the slash, dom or sub, tend to discover their kinky nature when they watch some porn, see some erotica, read some erotica, that some fantasy level of it. They see this thing and it speaks to them and they go, yes, that's what I want. Now, some of us, we go off and we research and we talk to people and we listen to podcasts. Hi, we're so glad you're here. And we watch YouTube videos and we learn. We learn before we jump in. But not everybody's like that. Some people go, I want to do this thing that is a fantasy in my head. I've only seen the black and white images that, you know, turn me on.
Right.
And I'm going to go out into the public and try to make this fantasy a reality. And the moment fantasy meets reality, you get all kinds of behavior. And from a submissive who's desperate to submit because they've got this fantasy in their head, they have no concept of what the reality is yet, it comes across as red flags. It comes across as a dominant who is either experienced or kind of knows what you're looking for. You're going to go, oh, maybe that's not the one I'm interested in. Now, the nice thing is, and this is from my personal experience talking to different submissives over the past few years, most of the time, once they calm down, maybe they get out of that initial sub frenzy. Because so we're used to sub frenzy in a DS relationship. But sure. Unless you have been there when somebody goes, I'm submissive? Are you kidding me? Yes. And they go rushing out. That's another, maybe another form of sub frenzy. I have seen it. Mm. I have kind of felt it, but I'm so reserved in certain situations. I would never have acted on it, but I understand the feeling. Once those kind of initial excitements and fantasy and early uneducated about DS and kink life things fade away, and they begin to learn and they begin to have more experience and they kind of figure themselves out, a lot of these red flags dissipate. It really is an education and experience mm-hmm. thing. You know, when we talk about red flags of dominance, and I am guilty of this too, many of us just go, "There, no, get them out. And when they are abusive or they do not respect or understand or care about consent, of course, I don't want them in my community either. Get them the fuck out. But we don't give dominance the forgiveness, I think, that we would be willing to give submissives. Like that, yeah. The example you love to use about that submissive who says that they have no limits and they'll do anything.
Okay, cut off your left pinky finger for me.
Shave your head, walk, yeah. through, you know, whatever. But we know those people personally. We have met those people. And 6 months mm-hmm. later, they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I said that. Right? So we give, I think we give more space for submissives to learn from their mistakes
yeah.
and come back and go, oh yeah, that was not me at my best. And maybe it's just my lack of experience with the dom who is uneducated and presents red flags versus the abuser, the poser, the wannabe. Maybe it's just the uneducated doms are outnumbered by the assholes. I'm not sure. But I absolutely, a lot of the things I consider a red flag of a submissive, I also go, oh, they just don't understand yet. And once they do understand, hopefully they'll get better at this and they won't present all these red flags. But there is the one kind of submissive that doesn't really get talked about very much, but I know they exist.
Okay.
And that's the submissive that's not really submissive. They're not really submissive. They want the role play. Maybe they want the kinky mm-hmm. sex, but they really do want to control
everything. I wish I had a nickel for a number of times I've had or been approached. Oh, you're a dominant? Fuck me into submission.
Right. Right. So, and here's the thing that I think that gets forgotten, and I'm grateful to Angel, our friend Professor Sex, who pointed this out after we published our blog post. It was something I said that in the context of a existing DS relationship, it's absolutely okay as long as you're both cool with it. But we were talking about outside of an existing mm-hmm. relationship. You're two strangers you've just met, and somebody demands or begs that you dominate them. That's right. A red flag. If I don't know you, that's no different than some asshole who tells me I gotta call him sir. Fuck you, I gotta call you right? Shit. Okay? You want to see me become quite mm-hmm. non-submissive like? Haha. Yeah. Try to make a demand. So and that I guess I want to 20 minutes in. Let me clarify. These are mm-hmm. always these are not existing relationships, because what you do in your existing DS relationship, that's between the two of you. And it might be strange to me because I wouldn't do it, but I don't have to care what you do. These really are people who are approaching potential dominance for new relationships that they don't, you know, that aren't existing, or it's early days in a relationship and you're still figuring each other out and you've got your alarm bells going off. Mm-hmm. These are the red flags we need. Within your relationship, I'm pretty sure we could say, oh, this might be a red flag. If somebody starts lying out of nowhere, they've never lied to you before, that's obviously a red flag. If they're withholding information and they've never withheld information from you before, yes, that's a red flag.
Yeah.
But that's a red flag of a problem within your relationship.
Right. Another red flag for me is the submissive that says, oh, I don't need a safe word. Throw everything you've got at me.
That's the same one who doesn't think they have limits.
Yeah.
Or they've decided from whatever mm-hmm. resources they've used, probably their porn and their erotica, right. that somehow safe words are, you know, ruin the moment or say something about their submission. And some of these things, and I want to try to make clear here, some of the things we're describing, I know a lot of submissives are going to go, but I felt that way in the beginning, or I said those things. Mm-hmm. And the what makes something a, oh, you're just new and you've got some stuff to learn, and hey, you learned it because now you know better, versus a red flag that might make a potential dominant run screaming out of the room, is the way you do it. Remember, we said this before, it's not always what you say, it's how you say it. So you can think, and I know many, many submissives in existing relationships who hate to use their safe word because they think they're letting down their dominant partner. Mm-hmm. Quite frankly, if your dominant partner accidentally hurt you because you wouldn't use your safe word, you really have let them down at that point. But that's a whole other conversation. So that's a different thing as opposed to the person who goes, fuck safe words. I've never seen with anybody, but I'm pretty sure I know I'm not going to need a safe word. And they aren't willing to listen to other people.
There are people who have played that I know who have played together for a long, long time, and they have safe words in place, but they have played together for so long, they know each other's body language and mannerisms, so they can pretty much pick it up, you know. But when you're approaching somebody that you don't know and they say they don't need a safe word,
that's terrifying. You know,
that's pretty terrifying.
It's also not very responsible. So what part of, I'm looking at my notes here, what do I want to make sure we cover? And one of the things is, well, what does a dominant do when they see a red flag or something that says to them, ooh, this can't be good? Many dominants I know, depending on their personality, of course, will try to educate you. I know a lot of dominants, the first thing they would say to a person who says, I want a scene with you, I'm brand new, I'm a submissive, but I'm not doing a safe word, I don't believe in them. The dominants I know who do use safe words, especially with new to them partners, would go, well, then I can't play with you.
Exactly.
Because here's my policy, and these are my boundaries, and this is how I play. And they will try to use it as a teaching moment. Just like the whole I have no limits thing.
Yeah.
You know, the dominants who are interested, who don't want to take advantage of that person and sort of try to educate. And a lot of dominants are like that, at least in my experience. You'll say something snarky, but the point is, you sure about that?
Right.
And that's one way to handle a red flag when you see it. And I think it all depends on the situation and the person and the interaction. But I think that's kind of the responsibility of the community in general. When you see somebody out there spouting just really dangerous things that could get them hurt in a way they cannot anticipate, as long as it feels right for you and it's the right moment, because we all have our own issues, say something. Say, "Whoa, I don't think you know what you're saying."
I mean, I get approached online quite a bit, and here's a couple books to read.
Right.
Here's a link to submissive guide.
Right. You're not meant to be everybody's teacher.
Do some homework.
But I mean, that's not our job, is to teach everybody everything about kink. But if the moment is right, you send them resources, or you say, I don't think that means what you think that means. But that's the thing. So a few minutes ago, we were talking about some of these people who are proclaiming their submissiveness. And you can't know this till you start going down a path with them. You can never really know what's in somebody's mind, what's in somebody's heart, how they really feel about something. But sometimes the red flag is they either aren't ready yet to be a submissive, or they never really were. Yeah. And what they wanted was a fantasy. And there's nothing wrong with the fantasy.
True.
If that gets you hot and bothered and makes you want to go have sex and you want that rough stuff and you want to be called filthy names, that actually, on some levels can be a form of DS. There's certainly bedroom only DS. But when you start using the language of submissives, you know, in every community, there's a language, there's words we understand to mean certain things. And, you know, you start using the language of submissives, but nothing you do matches, then that could easily be something that makes a dominant go, I'm not sure you're a submissive in the way you think it means to be a submissive. True. And I don't want to make judgment calls here. This is a tightrope kind of thing, because everybody's definition of what it means to be submissive is different.
True.
And
it's just like every dominant is not a sadist. Every submissive is not a masochist.
Right. And just because you're form of submission does not match the dominant you're talking to, doesn't mean there's not a dominant out there for you. Like I said, if the answer is, ooh, maybe they're not really submissive, you're probably not going to see that as a fact until you kind of dive in deep with this person and realize, wait, every time we talk about giving up control, you refuse to give up control. And there's a step for that. That's where you can't automatically assume something's a red flag and there's something wrong with the person. There may be something wrong with the situation. So that's another thing. And I feel like we're kind of climbing all over this topic. It's not very linear today. So some of the things that I might classify as a red flag in the sense of, ooh, that's somebody who maybe needs a little bit of help, a little bit of time, a little bit of leave them alone, because that might not end well for you, to the dominant who's considering them. Sometimes it's they aren't ready to submit. Sometimes it's trust issues. Sometimes it's the wrong partner. So the reasons for the behavior can be almost anything. And so I think we also have to be very careful when we classify something as a red flag. What do we mean by red flag? Is it just the thing that makes our instincts go, ooh, something's not right here, and it can be corrected? You can extricate yourself from that entanglement with that person, and they might go find the dominant that's perfect for them and have a great time. But there are the predatory submissives. I've seen it in watching Twitter. I've seen it with femdoms. So, and I've seen it, and that doesn't mean it doesn't exist in other places, but I've seen it with male submissives who show up, who go, yeah, I'll do whatever you want. They're told to do something and then they're gone. They're not doing it.
The worst that I have seen and heard of is, you know, you have a femdom who is a service top. They could be looking for somebody like a service sub.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they get these men, you know, I want to be your sexual slave.
Right.
You know,
did you read my profile?
Exactly.
Not what I'm looking for. Right. And I think that's another thing. And that's universal, that people don't always read the profile. They see the title. They maybe see a picture and they go, ooh, that person looks good. And they just throw themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the ones, and we've talked about this many times, this will for.
But, you know, it's kind of funny if you think about it, because if someone wants to serve, what better way to start out serving than
to do what the person
to
asks
do your homework.
Well, I know. But, you know, we've talked about many times before, the ones that do it to you, where they not only slide into your DMs and you go, yeah, I'm not interested, they then tell you that they can make you forget me.
Yes.
And that person, in my bitchier moment, that person to me is not a submissive.
No.
They're playing, they're having a good time, they're trying to get something that feels good.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. They need to go find somebody else to sniff around, because I have marked you and not cool. So it's more complicated, I think, than we give it credit for. And I feel, and I hope somebody out there who is smarter than I am about these things can give me a little clarity, because I feel like we are more forgiving of submissives, most, not all, than we are of dominants for red flag behavior. Or we look at, even this conversation we're having right now, we're looking at submissive behavior in a much more nuanced way than we do dominant behavior. And I wonder if it's because the damage that dominants are capable of wreaking is so great.
So great.
I mean, people can end up physically harmed, mentally harmed, like scarred for life by a bad dominant when you ignore the red flags. I do think, though, and it's like I said at the top of the episode, I spoke to somebody who had a very bad experience with a male sub, and male subs are just as subs, I shouldn't just say male, but people are capable of abusing other people regardless of the power exchange in your relationship.
Correct.
So I don't, but it's... I don't know. It's when you classify things that are clearly abusive behavior, it's very easy to go, okay, that's in its own little bucket. And that's that type of person. And that type of red flag is clearly awful. And if you are fortunate enough to see the red flags before the danger hits, then do what you can to extricate yourselves. But sometimes people really are charismatic and manipulative, and they hide all of that, and you can't see it. So when somebody gets abused in a relationship, I'm not going to say, well, you should have seen the red flags. Look what you did to yourself. Because some people are like scary that they are so charismatic and you can't see that stuff coming. And I think that's one level of bad behavior that might not even have a red flag. Right. And then there's this other level of bad behavior that's partly from cluelessness, regardless of motivation. And I don't want anybody to think that I think you should try to figure out somebody's motivation in their red flag. If something strikes you as a red flag and it sends up those alarm bells and your instinct starts going, no, you get out of there. If, especially if it's early days and you just met this person, there are a lot more people. And I don't know. I have no clue about the numbers. I don't know if anybody's ever researched this. Probably not. But my feeling is that the ratio of submissives, available submissives to available dominants, if you're a dominant and this person's giving off red flags to you and you're like, no, I do not want to tangle with that, you're going to be fine. You'll find somebody else to talk to.
Yeah.
We're out there. And unfortunately, because it's a numbers game, it can feel like you're sort of wading through, you know, a lot of garbage before you get to a person that you connect with. The same is true for submissives. We feel that many people feel that way too.
Right.
I'm looking at motivation because I like to understand people and why they do things. And I like to think about those things as a thought experiment, but I don't want anybody to think that I think you're supposed to sit down and go, well, is this person just uneducated? Should I help them? Is there something else? Like, no. When you are on that path of going, ooh, who do I want to play with at the club? Or, ooh, this person online looks cute. Let me go talk to them. When you're at that stage of stuff, unless you just are fascinated by it like I am, that's possible too. You don't have to put yourself through all that. Now, if you're in the middle of a relationship already, you're in an established relationship, and you start seeing red flags go up, I would probably start asking about motivation. I would probably start trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
It is time to sit down and have a serious talk.
Right. But early days, you're not in an established relationship. You're both relatively free to come and go and do what you want. You don't have to put up with these red flags. I don't care what their reason is. And I know that, because this would have been me too, some submissives who exhibited that behavior in the beginning because they were so new and just clueless and didn't know anything yet are probably going to go, oh man, did I ruin some, you know, potentially great relationship because I accidentally gave off red flags? You might have, but if it didn't work out, then it's because it wasn't really meant to, you know. It will work out when it works out, or you'll find somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't, if you're a submissive, because I was talking to people like who had these experiences on Twitter today too, because they're like, I recognize a lot of my early self in that. I'm like, I'm not surprised. It happens to a lot of us.
Right.
You don't have to beat yourself up because you were like that.
But it's all part of the
learning process.
The learning and growing and evolving.
But we all, when we're trying to decide, who do I want to spend my time with? Who do I want to attach to? Who do I want to get to know? Who do I want to trust? We all have to have kind of like internal criteria for how somebody gets past like the first gate and they get to come in and we'll talk to them.
Yeah.
And we all, hopefully, have things that if we see somebody doing it, we go, nope, not you. And that's a red flag. That's a personal red flag. That's a red flag that maybe only means something to me. Maybe if I see you biting your nails, I go, I can't. I don't even know that person's name. I can't. It could be anything. That's a personal red flag that is not a judgment about that person over there. It's about you and how you've interacted with people in the past and your bad tapes and all kinds of stuff. But then there are things that are just sort of universal that I think if we were all more aware of them, we can help educate more people. For those of us who are interested in doing that, we can steer clear of the really egregious bad behavior the moment we see it, because it usually means something worse than, hey, that's just a new submissive that doesn't know what they're doing. And you can navigate these things. And so if we talk about some of the things that submissives get wrong when trying to meet new people and establish a DS relationship, then everybody is sort of helped. And sometimes you might find you have more compassion for somebody because you might have seen somebody saying something like, oh, I have no limits. And go, God, they're a fucking idiot. They're not an idiot.
Right.
They just don't know yet. So if knowing what the red flags are, knowing that this is something that is common to people and that it pushes people away from them, but you understand why it happens or why it might happen, you might have more compassion for them. You might still go, oh, no, 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 I do not have time for that one, and go find somebody with more experience or better sense of self-preservation. But, you know, I mean, it's knowing all these things, it can have all kinds of ripple effects. It doesn't mean that I certainly don't think I can save everybody from a bad relationship. Just like I'd love to save all kinksters from the predatory doms and subs who are the actual abusers, who are trying to do harm for all the plethora of reasons that people try to do harm to other people. I'd love to save us all from them. But then I'd also like us all to sort of understand where other people are coming from. When it's a red flag and it's a thing you go, no, I'm not, I don't have to, you can't make me. Why people might be that way.
Right.
Because it's not always for the reason you think it is. I mean, even between writing the blog post and having this conversation, even my thinking has kind of gone, well, I can see all kinds of reasons somebody might say that or be that way. And I can also see why the reason might not matter. If it sends up alarm bells in somebody's head, they're going to go, no, I don't want to deal with that. We all have to have our criteria for how we pick a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And that moment of you go, this doesn't feel right is perfectly valid criteria. You don't even have to be able to name the reasons. But sometimes you go look back and you think, I mean, dominance out there, if you've come across a submissive or somebody who said they were submissive and you went, you had one conversation with them and went, oh, hell no. But you didn't know why. Well, maybe now you can look back and go, oh, God, yeah, they did this and they did that. And that wasn't for me. And I wasn't going to deal with that. And I don't have to deal with that. That's just more information for you going forward when you start meeting more people.
Right. I think, too, something that should be understood. Over years, I've had a number of submissives reach out. I want you to mentor me. I want you to teach me how to be submissive. Okay. And we have talked about mentors and protectors in the past. And, you know, in a case like that, no. If you are especially a new submissive, I don't believe, you know, unless we are entering into a relationship.
Right. That's what I was going to say.
You know, no, because teaching someone to be submissive, one, I'm going to teach you how. I want them to be. You want to understand submission. You want to understand how you fit into a submissive role. You need to speak to other submissives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I see this more often. That doesn't mean this is universal. I see this more often with female submissives who are looking for male doms. They will, and we talked about this in the mentor episode, they will go to male doms to teach them something. And if the male dom is interested in that, there's nothing wrong with that. You negotiate it, you create boundaries, figure it out. But they might be able to teach you some things. And some people are designed to be mentors. They're really great at it. They can teach sort of universal things. But I think the vast majority of dominants are going to go, I can't teach you how to be any old submissive. I can only teach you how to be my submissive.
Right.
And the reason that matters is because when you meet another dominant, they may have a completely different style and not want you to do any of the stuff you've been taught by somebody else. And so, yes, I can see from the perspective of a dominant who gets that request ad nauseum, how that for you might be a red flag where you're like, nope. You're probably a very nice human being, but I'm going to go over here. Because it is something that it's funny because that's not the fault of that one individual. That's not the red flag isn't because of that one specific individual asking. It's because it's become this pattern within the community where that's, for whatever reason, what some submissives gravitate towards. And so it's not your fault that you did that because you thought that's what you should do and you didn't know. And that made it a red flag. Yeah. It's not a judgment call about you as the person. It's that, oh, you might be the 15th one this week. And just know.
But no, really, as a submissive, you need to find a submissive support group. And they are out there.
Oh God, we're all over the place.
You know, many communities hold meetings. Everybody will come together, dom and sub, and there will be a general discussion. And then dominants go off one way, submissives go off the other way.
And here's the deal. It doesn't even have to be that formal. If you're a submissive, you need one submissive friend who you can talk to, who you can go, I just read this thing. I just heard this thing. What do you think about this? You both might be clueless together. I would say try to find, if you are a more experienced sub, and befriend that person as well. But you really just need some friends where you can say, this thing happened, and you can do the friend brainstorm thing, and you can compare resources. And, you know, dominance, I love y'all. I love y'all. I love dominance as a rule.
Thank you.
I think you're great.
But
very few of you seem to willingly come together to learn from each other. I have told multiple dominants, hey, I have no problem if you ask me a question. But, you know, if you want a better, more accurate answer, you should probably ask John Brownstone because he's got direct experience with this and he can help you better. And I will say to said John Brownstone, hey, I just gave your email address to a dominant who had some questions. I gave them the best answer I could, but I think they would benefit from talking to you. And then he never hears from them. And I don't like to say all dominance is all submissive. That's bullshit. That's not true at all. But as a group, just sheer numbers wise, most of you don't, it's not like y'all come together in this like, you know, group to, unless it is at a formal meeting. And in a formal meeting, that's
most of
different.
The times it is at a formal meeting.
But submissives, you can do the formal meeting if that benefits you best and that works best for you. Just to have, you know, go to a munch and meet a couple of submissives and go, okay, who do I kind of click with? Or who are you talking to online? Say, hey, I know we love to talk online. Do you mind if I DM you a couple of questions? Get their consent first. Mm-hmm. Even if it's, I said this or I did this, or is this, how do you see this? You know, get some input from people who actually kind of know what it's like. They know what it's like from their own perspective. It won't completely match yours, but it might help you, especially if you listen to any of what we've talked about with these red flags and go, oh my God, I do all of this. It's okay. It's okay. I think most of the red flags, it's education that fixes it. Every once in a while, that person's not really submissive. They're playing, they're trying to manipulate the other person, or they are just themselves confused and they think they are because they like the certain thing. And sometimes it's trust. So when I think of this, it's not necessarily in a relationship between two strangers coming together. It's typically in established relationships where you're like, oh, I don't want to be vanilla anymore. I want to be kinky. Let's do a kinky thing, right? Bless you, y'all. He tried really hard to like not, but he did. And that the submissive partner says, I'm submissive and I want to submit to you. And then you start going through the negotiations and figuring it out and the trying things, and there's resistance, and they start throwing out red flags that in any other submissive that you just met off the street, you go, oh no, I'm not putting up with this. I've got other things to do. But this is your partner. This is somebody you're married to or you've loved for years. And oh my gosh, what are you supposed to do? Like we said earlier, that's you know, you got to have a conversation. But in those cases, sometimes it's a control and a trust issue. I knew a submissive several years ago who described what she thought submission was when she proposed it to her husband. And what she thought it was he was supposed to do only the things, and I do not mean this about boundaries. I mean, she was ready to write out move by move the scene he was allowed to have.
Oh, goodness.
Completely taking the control away from
him.
So it wasn't okay, I want to do these things. These things are not allowed. These things are, but I'm going to let you choreograph this knowing what I like and what I don't like. And I'm going to let you set the pace, but I will use safe words or I'll tell you when I don't like it or whatever. No. This person wanted to micromanage her entire submissive experience. And she realized over time that it was because she was not ready to really give up that control. She had not established that type of trust with her husband. There were other issues going on. So that's where I said earlier in the episode, where sometimes the things we would classify as a red flag in a new and emerging relationship where you just met,
mm-hmm.
we would say, oh, it's time for a conversation in an existing relationship, because you have
right.
you have more there that you want to hold on to, hopefully, because you've been together for longer. But those things can occur, because sometimes the things that make you go, ooh, no, maybe not that person, there's something, something doesn't feel right. It is a lack of trust and a lack
yeah.
of ability to, they're not quite ready to give up control.
Right.
Or you're just not the person they should be giving up control to, and they haven't figured that out for themselves yet
mm-hmm.
either. So this whole episode, I sort of wanted to point out that submissives aren't perfect. And I feel like I ended up spending 45 minutes apologizing for submissives and reassuring submissives that you can educate yourself out of red flags. And I don't know if I'm right about that or if I'm just really biased as a submissive. Like, I recognize my inherent bias. I get that. And I don't want to make it sound like submissives are incapable of, just can't do bad things. Of course they can. Of course they can overpower. They can emotionally abuse. They can financially abuse. They can do all kinds of things, because people can do that. It's not a submissive thing. It's not a dominant thing. It's a people thing. And if somebody is a bad human being, I don't care what role they try to take in a power exchange, they're just a bad human being that's doing bad things to their partner. And I think that those red flags sometimes, like we said earlier, are really, really obvious. They're lying to you. They're ghost. They're catfishing you. They're this. They're that. They're doing all. They're gaslighting you. They're like doing all kinds of things that are like way emotionally manipulative, and you're finding out about it. Don't think I meant to say catfishing, because that's a completely different thing. But I
yes.
did mean gaslighting. I corrected myself before the whole world fucking laughs at me. I know that was not what I meant. But, you know, sometimes there are obvious red flags, and I would say if you see these obvious red flags, get out as soon as it is safe for you to do so. And sometimes you don't see them until it's too late, until something awful happens to you. And one, I would say get out as soon as you safely can. But two, don't ever beat yourself up if you missed a red flag, too.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the red flags weren't there. So it is really a nuanced conversation. Sometimes the red flags aren't awful, but it doesn't matter if they're awful or not. If they send up alarm bells as a dominant, you go, nope, I don't have to do it. And you get to leave, and it's fine. And sometimes there are no red flags and bad things happen. And sometimes there are red flags and it's not lack of education.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they're like kind of a crappy human being that doesn't know how to interact with others. And it's really complicated.
It is. and I think the big D's, you know, you really need to protect yourself, okay?
Right.
You know, just as, you know, people talk about vetting DOMs, I mentioned this earlier, you know, it's just as important to vet a submissive.
Absolutely.
You know,
as you can.
You do the best you can.
Listen to that little voice inside
right.
of you.
I mean, if you're in a committed relationship, it's not as important. But, you know, if you're a top that, you know, plays with different bottoms, you're out there looking for somebody, you know, protect yourself. The worst case scenario, you know, somebody could out you to your job.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, they could do real damage.
Not to say that allegations of abuse aren't real. It does happen. But, you know, there can be.
Right. I mean, it's an emotional abuse and other forms where they
mm-hmm.
were, yeah, you reject them, they out you. You were in, there's all kinds of things. And sometimes you can, like I said, sometimes you can see that shitty behavior coming from a mile away, and sometimes you cannot.
Can't. Yeah.
Sometimes they seem kind of okay, mostly okay, and then out of nowhere. And I know that there are people who disagree with that. I know there are people who go, oh no, you knew, you had a little thing in your head at some point. That may be true, but if you don't know how to trust that, then it's easy to not listen to it. And if that person is so charismatic that everything else they do is perfection, you know, it's easy to not trust yourself, even though you had that moment. And I don't care if you had red flags, bells, whistles, and fireworks once that person crosses that line into just shitty behavior, abusive behavior, bad behavior, criminal behavior, I don't care what red flags you ignored. You deserve justice and you deserve to be safe. And it doesn't matter whether you ignored or missed or never saw red flags. What matters is making you better and safe and whole and all of that. So,
right.
You know, that just, God, this is a really, I didn't think this would be complicated. And it, now I feel like I need to do some sort of inner soul searching of, have I oversimplified red flags for dominance? Have we over, and I mean, as a community, I know me, I've gone on many rants about red flags. Now I'm wondering, have we oversimplified that conversation too? And I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure others have opinions. I'm sure others have many opinions on our very scattered conversation, because I think we both thought this was going to be a very simple linear conversation. We're going to go, okay, here's some red flags, and here's some motivations, and here's what you do about them. And then I let my brain go, but wait. Part of it is because as a submissive, I can see the other side. But I do want to say, this might be like the millionth repeat for this episode, but I want to say it so that we're clear. It does not have to matter what the motivation behind that red flag is, whether it's a lack of understanding or newness or whatever. If you are not already in an established relationship, long-term trust and all this stuff you've already built, and you're meeting somebody and you as a dominant come across somebody that's exhibiting a red flag that makes you go, that is valid.
You have every
you
right.
You don't even have to worry about what their red flag means and why they're exhibiting it. You get to make the choices about what is right for you. And if more of us on both sides of the slash and in the vanilla world would do that, if we would come across new people and kind of see how we feel in their presence, and do we get a good energy vibe exchange, and are we listening to that the instinct and the little voice in our stomach, our head, wherever your gut instinct intuition lives, and if we would listen to that and stop trying to justify, well, they didn't do this and they did and they said that and that's all the right stuff, so why am I concerned? No. If we just meet people and go, something ain't right here, I'm gonna move on, we might be in better places to find people who are the right fit, and then we wouldn't have to extricate ourselves from failing relationships that aren't necessarily as bad as they get, but they're still not great and it still feels awful. And so sub, dom, I don't care who you are. If you come across a person and something to you is a personal red flag of something you don't want to deal with, and that person exhibits it and you're not already in an established relationship, you have every right to go, I don't have to deal with you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to be your top or your dom. I don't have to be your sub or your bottom. I don't have to play with you. I don't have to talk to you. I'm out. I'm going to go talk to somebody else. That, I think, would be, of the whole red flag conversation, one of the key takeaways I would hope everybody would make. So, especially if anybody thinks I'm apologizing for people with red flags, because I don't want to come across that way. But this is kind of, this went weird, like we said. So I'm pretty sure somebody out there has opinions.
Sure.
And we have not done this sort of PSA on opinions and feedback. So I'm going to do this. We love feedback. We learn from feedback. We get a different perspective. We might not change our minds, but we get something new.
We don't know it all either.
We're
constantly learning as well.
And the way we handle something may not be the way you handle something, and both somethings can be perfectly valid.
Right.
So if this episode gave you thoughts and feels, and you're like, wait, I disagree with this, or, but you, what about this, or whatever, feel free to reach out. Email, FetLife, Twitter, comments on the blog. The show notes page on the actual website has a comment section. You're welcome. I've been really slow about responding to comments lately, but we do respond to them. The only rule we have is you don't be an asshole. I don't respond to assholes. I go, huh, they're so cute. And I delete. But
do it with respect.
Right. We can have a respectful conversation about how maybe we don't agree on this. And maybe there's things I'm not thinking about, in all of this. That's cool, because that's how we all grow and learn together and get different perspectives. Just don't be an asshole about it.
Mm-hmm.
Ta-da. Okay.
All right.
We will do
a
modified bonus section. We don't have any mail, so it'll be modified. I think I have beat this topic into not submission. Not at all. I've beat it into a jumbled mess that I don't think anybody could find a thread in.
Oh gosh. Okay.
So I apologize now. Okay, so yeah,
All
we're
right.
we're as good as
we're
gonna
good.
Get.
All right.
Keep it
kinky,
kinky,
y'all.
We'll see you next week.
Yes, baby girl.
Can I please talk to the crickets? Please? Think of the crickets.
You can...
Please, Daddy.
Go ahead, baby.
Thank you, Daddy. Okay, so he tried really hard not to yawn through the whole freaking episode, and we interrupted each other multiple times, and so every time one interrupted the other, we gave them the look. I feel like this episode was a hot mess.
It might have been.
I don't know if we helped anybody or if we pissed everybody off. I don't know. I don't know anything. The reason we do not have mail officially as of Thursday night when we're recording is because we forgot to check mail this week.
Neither one of us went to the mailbox.
No,
this week.
And that's because school is out, and so the routine is different.
Right.
And we didn't, in the summertime, because of where our P.O. box is, we have to make an effort to go. We have to plan to go, and we did not plan to go like we should have.
No.
So if anybody sent anything and you're like, but how did you not get my mail? It's because we haven't checked our mail yet. So if we get anything, I'll Instagram it.
Yeah.
If appropriate. Some things people send, I would not do that because that'll hurt their privacy.
You'd be out running errands tomorrow, so.
Yes, we're going to talk to a kinky accountant.
Yes.
Because we need an accountant, and I cannot give all that Kayla Lord's information to somebody that
Just
I don't.
Anybody.
No. You don't have to be kinky yourself, although I think this guy is. You do have to be kink friendly. You do
right.
have to be open-minded. I got lucky that this dude has a website called Kinky Tax. So,
mm-hmm.
and pictures of himself in BDSM moments. So, I'm hoping that the personality fits because
mm-hmm.
then I can be like, yes, you are also a kinkster. You have shown parts of yourself online for people to know that you're the real deal. Here's all my data and my social security number. It's scary.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to do that. We did that with our realtor when we bought this place.
Mm-hmm.
We went on Fat Life and I was like,
yeah.
I need a kinky real estate agent. So I can
mm-hmm.
say to that person, the children's room cannot be near my bedroom because I get my ass beat. Now, you know what's funny? I could have easily said, I don't want the room near mine because they are loud. And that would have been, nobody would have batted an eye,
True.
But it did help because she, as our kinky realtor, had walked into one property and went, oh no, this will not do for y'all.
Right.
Because she knew what we needed. We did that with my therapist.
Yeah.
I found a kink friendly therapist.
Yes.
I am not brave enough to ask him how he identifies. He might not even tell me. That might be a boundary he won't cross. But I do. I sometimes go, oh, I think you're dumb. And then something else will happen. I go, oh no, I think you're submissive. So then I've landed on switch. I don't know for a fact. I have no clue. I make up stories in my head about my therapist because that's fun. And I'm weird. So yes, all that to say we don't have mail that we know
right.
of. We did spend last weekend hanging out with our erotic writing friends and our kink friends, and
yes.
we got to see Professor Sex,
yes.
who is amazing,
mm-hmm.
and it was
yep.
not enough time spent with her, and
no.
I could have had a whole weekend with her as well, and we got to spend time with three amazing erotic authors,
yep.
whom we adore, Dr. J, Misha Elliott, and Oleander Plume,
yeah.
and it was one of those things, which is really nice, and I think it happens more often than we give it credit for, where the people they are on Twitter is who they are. The way they present themselves on
yes.
Twitter is who they are in real life. And so there was no awkwardness or weirdness. It was, yeah, I know you. We were just chatting on Twitter two
mm-hmm.
days ago. And it was, we were completely at ease and it was a great time. It was a great time.
It was.
And we got a weekend away from our children.
Yeah.
It was the second time since 2014 we spent time away from both children at the same time.
Right.
2014, the kids stayed with my mom while we got moved down, moved me away from where I lived and moved down in with John Brownstone. And then the next time we got a solid bit of time away from both children at the same time was when we went to London this year.
Yeah.
And then just a couple months later when we went somewhere else for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to do that more often. And they were no worse for the wear. They were like, do we have to go home? because I get to be with these people, family members, and we love them, and we don't want to go home.
Right.
It's like, if I could justify it, yes, I would do it. I'd have no problem with it. But it was a good weekend, and it was very relaxing.
It was fun. It was relaxing. Very good company all the way around.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I could have happily done more days earlier or later and just been there because, there was one day where we had a lot of stuff going on, but there was one day we literally just sat on the front porch while it rained and just talked for 4 hours.
Yep.
That's all we did. Mm-hmm. And it was wonderful. And we shared information and we taught each other stuff and we talked about stuff. And it was how things, that's how I like stuff.
Yeah.
I like to have a good energy vibe with a group, and I like the group to be kind of small. And I like to my introvert self was so happy. It's like, let's talk about stuff. Yeah. Ask me questions. We're cool. Let's do this. So it was wonderful, and they're wonderful. And I'm already hoping there's talk of this being an annual event.
Right.
But I'm here for that. So
mm-hmm.
here for that.
Yeah.
It was a really good weekend, and we came back, and it was balls to the wall because I'm at the end of the month, so that's all the finishing up I have to do. And then we'll take a couple days off, and then we'll be back to balls on the wall. But you were grumpy and tired before we started this episode, and I think now you're just tired.
Now I'm just tired. No, I'm not grumpy anymore, but I am very tired.
You were very grumpy. You looked up at me over your book, and it was like, if looks could cause the not kinky kind of pain, that would have been one of those looks. I don't remember what I did.
Don't worry about it. That moment is past.
And then, thank God. And then at another point, I followed you into the bathroom because that's what I do. My mom is grateful that I do it to you now and not to her anymore. I was still following my mom into the bathroom to have conversations with her when I was like 30.
We need to talk about that. Make that a boundary, okay?
I don't think that counts considering I have been doing some serious business in my own in the bathroom and you have opened the door and I start shrieking and you go, What? I needed a Q-tip. And I'm like, I needed privacy. So, yeah.
It's been a crazy week for me too since we've been back.
You've been very busy.
I've been very busy. I've been doing a lot of stuff. Lots of updates on the websites.
Yes, you've
back
been.
End. Yeah,
you've been working hard to keep that.
Yeah,
going.
Keep that current and flowing smoothly. And I have kind of taken on a personal crusade and have been studying SEO.
I know. And the more you know about SEO, the more you can help with all kinds of stuff. I mean, it helps with your Etsy shop, which I did not plug this week because I don't like to become too repetitive. And we're getting close to that point where people couldn't do
special orders
and get it.
But
you have. And the things that you see, I know enough about SEO to be kind of scary and dangerous because I can kind of, it's not good. But you're learning like actual skills and finding the tools. And it's cool. It's cool to see you do that.
Yeah.
And then once you feel more confident, we're like, can you please plug those over here? And for some people who are like, what the fuck is SEO? Search engine optimization. It's part of, but not all of the thing that helps you actually get found on Google.
Right.
But we get found for all kinds of cool things. Now, the highlight of my, probably the month of May, has been that more and more somebody types in the word masturbation and they get to Masturbation Monday. They don't have to type in Masturbation Monday. They don't have to type in Kayla Lords, which they can do both and they will get there. But they type in just the word masturbation and I feel like mission accomplished.
You've reached the pinnacle.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And we get for Loving BDSM, people are searching some terms that make my heart warm, like DS for beginners and long distance DS and some of the stuff that's sort of near and dear to our heart. So yeah, I'm gonna let you get more skills and then cut you loose on all my websites too and be like, fix me.
I've been diving into books and doing my own searching and.
But that's not the only thing you've done this week. You have also been on a mission.
Yes.
For quotes from electricians and garage door places. We don't need a new garage door, but we do need a garage door opener and all the Lowe's. You're so excited. We do Lowe's Home Improvement. If you do the orange store, it's okay. I can't. When your my mother has worked for Lowe's for 34 years, guess what store I don't go to? So But, you know, you've got all the excuses in the world to just hang out at Lowe's and, you
right.
know, walk around, look at stuff. And
mm-hmm.
we've got plans for our condo because we're,
yeah.
can I say it? I mean, not all the details, but like the big overall, because I almost said it and I'm asking. Just,
No.
Just like in 18 months.
Oh.
Not the whole story.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. So in 18 months, we're going to sell this place and we're going to move. We just don't quite know where we're going to move to yet.
Right. Yeah. We've
we're staying in Florida. Don't anybody get your hopes up. I'm staying my ass right here in Florida.
Right. I'm not leaving the state.
No. The rest of y'all have weather I don't want.
Too many roots down here to leave the state. But we are outgrowing the condo. The boys are getting
right.
bigger.
And I'm like starting to claim more and more space.
Yes.
And everybody's like, wait.
As am I.
Right. So yeah, we like did very specific things to start getting our like ducks in a row. And now we have a plan and a time frame. And I think we're meeting with our kinky realtor again this weekend.
Yes.
Yes. So yeah, all kinds of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an 18-month timeline.
Right.
And that's for reasons. I think I said that last week, the foreclosure.
Maybe.
We did talk about this last week. I felt like it was new, but it's not. I think the cricket's like, you already fucking told us this last week.
Okay.
Eh.
That's what we get for waiting till late at night to record. We're tired.
I know. I'm hoping that next week we can record in daylight.
Yes.
That's my goal.
Okay.
That's my goal. So yeah, it's just mostly stuff like that. It's same old, but just with a little bit of extra busy thrown in. We are working on something with my Patreon.
Correct.
Where we may, and we will announce this, so you will not miss it before it happens. But because you're crickets, you might be interested in this on my Patreon page. It's going to become our Patreon page, not just the Kayla Lords page.
Right.
Even though I don't know that I can change the URL, it might be patreon.com/KaylaLords. But when you get to the page, it'll be more than that. And we're going to get more active there. And one of the things we're discussing doing is a bonus section one time a month.
A little behind the scenes.
We'll talk about more stuff that's like actually going on with what we're doing with Loving BDSM and the other sites and plans and whatever. And then because we can't help ourselves, if there's a microphone on, we'll probably chit chat about stuff too.
Right.
I'll have to make notes so I don't repeat myself in other episodes. So yeah, that will be coming soon. And we are getting ourselves together to talk more about why and how and all that stuff. We're not there yet.
No.
But yes, that is coming up for anybody who's remotely interested. And that you can access for as low as $1 a month. So
right.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that's enough.
Yeah.
We'll probably have to go to bed at some point.
It is. It's getting late. We have an early morning.
I know, with
yep.
the kinky tax guy.
All right.
Okay. Okay, y'all.
All
we
right.
love you.
We love you. Thank you.
For everything.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.